Hi, this is Arthur Adams, and you are listening to 15 Minutes with Mark Wade.
Hi, I'm Mark Wade.
I'm Daphna.
And we are podcasting here from the Boom Studios with another 15 Minutes with Mark Wade. And this week's topic is about the Boom offices themselves and the sort of the experience of working here.
In scenic Los Angeles.
So my question is, so I've been here for about a year and a half now. Daphne, you've been here for how long?
I've been here since December.
That's right. And your background in brief before this was?
I was an English major, mm-hmm. and I interned for a while at Entertainment Weekly, right. and I drink a lot of Diet Cokes.
Right. All right. So now my question is, it's a two-part question.
Okay.
Before you got the gig here, mm-hmm. what exactly do you do here?
I am an editorial assistant.
Okay. This is not for them. This is for me. So what exactly do you do here?
I'm an editorial assistant, so I'm helping Matt. Oh, thanks.
I'm kidding.
Help Matt with books, and then I do a bunch of Photoshop stuff.
Okay, Matt Gagnon.
Never tell anyone at Boom you can do something.
Oh, no. No, don't tell them you know Excel. Don't let them tell them you know.
Because then you'll do it.
Exactly. Then you're now the Photoshop. you're now the Photoshop go-to. Nice going. My sort of two-part question is, before you took the gig, what did you envision? How has the job been different now that you've been here for about 3 months than you may have thought it would be?
I thought I would be reading more comics. That I would have time to read more comics.
When you say it, you mean before they go out or after? Yeah.
No, in general. I thought, I finally get back because my local store that was by my house shut down and I'd been having to find a new store. I thought, I'll get back into comics monthly. I'll go each week. I'll stay up to date on everything. There's just no time.
No.
It's so monofocus, and it's so like you focus from day to day, deadline to deadline. And ask Matt, I don't know how good of a job I do that, but I'm certainly trying.
Hey, look, everybody in comics will tell you the same story, which is that, we all love comics, and even though all of us who are in comics still love comics, but nothing will kill your love of Wednesdays than actually working in the comics. When I started working DC again in 87 as an editor, and before that I would go to the store every week and buy all the DC comics, and I was the boy who loved DC comics. I'm still the boy who loved DC comics, but boy, I was the boy who loved DC comics. And I would read them I would read them twice. That was my ritual. I'd read them on the day they came out, and then over the weekend I'd read them all one more time before I filed them away. And then you get to work at DC Comics, and one of the perks of working on staff is you get all the free DC Comics. That week, the guy comes
and
then
you don't have time to read them.
And nothing will kill your love of reading comics more than look behind the curtain. You know, again, once you look behind the curtain, see how the magic is done, you know.
And then you see those comics on the shelves, and you know, like, what happened to get there. And you can't have strong feelings about anything anymore.
No.
Because if something's amazing, you think, how did that happen?
Yep.
If something's bad, you're like, how is this not worse? Like, it's like a whole new respect, and at the same time, they call it in the offices. My favorite phrase I've learned as a good little Jew that I am, killing Nazis. It's each day you're just killing more
Nazis.
More and more Nazis.
That's right.
Wow.
Because that's the treadmill you're on. Now, none of this is to say that we're not bad-mouthing the job.
We love it.
We love the job. But it's funny that's – I can see how that would be the big paradigm shift for you, as you thought, wow, I'll be even more interested in the reading of comics. And the reality is that's like saying, you know, I get to work at an ice cream store? Then I'll be eating ice cream all day.
It's exactly the right metaphor. Holy crap.
I know. No more ice cream for you. So,
and there is something to be said about, I get, because when I was at EW, you know, we'd get from companies, we'd get comp copies of a lot of things like comics. And I was like, awesome. It's like Hanukkah every single day. And then after a while, there's something about paying for something that actually makes you appreciate it more.
I know.
Even if it's not necessarily up to snuff. But it's like something that's free. It's the great equalizer.
Dan Juergens, who has been a writer, artist in comics forever, keeps saying, and he's absolutely right. He keeps saying the smartest thing we could do for comics is to take all the freelancers off the DC comp list for about 6 months and make them pay for what it is that they're getting for free, because that will give, because it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy not to realize how bad these stories are that you're doing if you're just crapping them out. If you're not having to pay for them. But you know, the moment you have to start actually paying $4 for a comic, you get a whole new appreciation.
You get strong opinions.
You get very strong opinions about what's good. So,
And comics already has strong opinions.
Before we hit this recent threshold where, you know, we, you know, the big imbroglio about how we seem to have leapt from $2.99 to $3.99, which, by the way, really hasn't happened at Marvel or DC, but the Marvel actually raised the price on four of their books to from $2.99 to $3.99. And yet the internet
hasn't exploded.
No, in fact, they exploded with the idea that, no, they're raising the prices on all their stuff. And maybe eventually. But I just find, this is a whole other conversation, but I love the internet dynamic here of, no, they did it with four of the 80 books they published that month. But, and I'm not defending Marvel, I'm just more interested in how the internet meme starts. That
is it meme or is it meme?
I'm more interested in how the internet meme starts.
No, I'm just genuinely curious.
It's meme.
Oh, okay.
Stop. So meme. We're going to edit that part out.
I'm going to say meme from now on.
Stop. We're going to edit that part out because yes, we are.
Nope.
I misspoke. How the internet meme starts. That
I do that too. I say it as I read it. Like, so I've said archives for years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you're retarded. So I don't feel bad anymore. anyway, see, now you're going to edit that part out.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
No, I'll keep it.
So,
out of spite.
How do we go here? The internet, so how? What interests me is how the internet meme starts with, you know, oh, they're going to raise, you know, it starts with this little tiny thing and it becomes a fact that they're going to raise the prices to all comics across the board and it costs $3.99 now and it's the end of the world. And again, I'm not in any way denigrating that opinion. I'm just saying it's interesting how it starts from something that isn't completely factual. Anyway.
There is that question, though. Are those the four books? I didn't know it was only on four books.
Yeah.
Again, I read it on the internet, so I assumed it was all of them.
Exactly, see?
And they, you know what they say about assuming, mm-hmm. but is it the four books that most people read? Like, is
yes.
it their four best-selling books?
Yes, but that's smart. It's not...
No, it's very smart.
It's very smart because those...
Those books will pay for the books that don't
sell
as
well. That's exactly it. The difference between Marvel and DC accounting, and I can tell you this from having worked at both places many years, is that at DC... they tend to look at the publishing line not necessarily on an issue-by-issue, not on a title-by-title basis. In other words, they don't look for title-to-title profitability. They take for granted the fact that if they publish 60 comic books a month, that it's going to be up to the high-selling books to support the low-selling books. All the money goes into one big barrel, if you will. At Marvel, they tend to look at it on an item-by-item basis. They tend to judge everything. Like, it doesn't matter how well Amazing Spider-Man is selling or how well Mighty Avengers is selling if, Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane is not doing well. It's its own problem.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any sort of bailout coming from the sales from Wolverine.
Bailout. Nice.
Nice. Thank you. So...
make it relevant.
So, but at Marvel, I think they've changed that dynamic a little bit in the sense that they're looking at, okay, well, we can raise the price on a few of the highest selling books, not to gouge people, because that generates a revenue stream that allows us to keep things like, you know, the lesser selling books that keep them afloat a little bit longer. Again, that's a lot of money to pay for a comic. This is all off my point. My point being that there was a point at which I wanted to, it's before everybody suddenly became very cognizant of how expensive comics were. About a year ago, I kept threatening to stand outside my local comic shop and pop quiz people on the way out of the store. Like, find out what they bought.
Terrorize people on the way out
of
the store?
No, just take their bag of comics and then take them one by one and say, how much did you pay for this? What was the cover price on this one? Because I would be willing to bet that at that point, the largest number of comics buyers would have had a sense of how much each individual comic cost, but I don't think necessarily. I don't think they would have known which ones were $2.50, which ones were $2.99, which ones were $3.50.
They
exactly.
know how much their weekly pull cost.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
Not
they
necessarily
know, exactly. They
itemized.
Know, they know
yeah.
if they just dropped, you know, $40 or whatever. But I don't think they know exactly on an itemized basis. Now they know. Now and again, that is a lot of money. And I say that with full disclosure that Boom charges $3.99 for all its comics, except for the Pixar stuff, the Incredibles, the Cars stuff, that stuff we're retailing at $2.99, which, you know, we do because we kind of barely can, because those are selling really well. The other stuff, we are selling well enough, but we're a small publisher. The reality is we can't afford to charge less than $3.99 for these books. And by the way, one of the things, I know that we are so off the topic, but one of the things I want written in Skywriting and put in the San Diego Comic Book Convention booklet on page one and printed on every internet website everywhere is that the old saw about how, well, if we just got back to cheaper paper and crappier printing and stuff, then we could print comics for a dollar and the whole world would rejoice. That's not true. It's not true.
There's an expectation of quality now.
It's not even that. It's not even that. It's that you can't buy cheap newsprint anymore. It's supply and demand. You don't...
Print publication in general across the board,
right,
can't support the cheap.
If we want... For instance, if we wanted to publish next month's issue of Farscape on as cheap a paper or cheap a grade of paper as we could find with a crappier printing process, it would actually cost us the same amount of money because nobody is printing on crappy paper anymore. Newspapers are, I don't have to tell anybody that newspapers are dropping like flies. Most magazines are slick paper.
The infrastructure just isn't there.
Right, and the supply and demand is. I mean, supply and demand dictates that now the cost of cheaper paper, of cheaper grade paper, is actually higher than the cost of slick paper because there's less of it. So, there's not a whole lot we can do to drive prices down in comics. I wish there were, but there's not. And I hear people who say that, if they just printed them, on toilet paper and, printed them with potato stamps, that they could sell them for a dollar and we'd all be rich. And that's not true. The other thing is, too, that most retailers will tell you that, why am I devoting shelf space to something that costs a dollar and I get 40 cents off of when I can devote that same shelf space to something that costs $4 and I can make, $1.75 off of. And that's not right or wrong. That's the reality of economics. So I guess the next part of my question is, so you've been here 3 months. What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
I'm digging my grave right now.
That's right. Your job review is not for 9 months. Keep going. Keep talking.
I come in the morning.
Right.
8 or 9, mm-hmm. And I check my email.
Right.
I respond to freelancers. Right.
This is not a test.
It feels like a test.
No. You're
going to go into that meeting and be like, this Daphna.
I know what you do. I just want them to, I want the listeners to know, here's what a day in the life of an editorial assistant is. So
basically you're the middle person between the freelancer, the colorist, the inker, the printer.
Right.
You keep an eye on the schedule. And it sounds intimidating from the outside, and it is. It's absolutely terrifying. I don't do everything perfectly.
No, but it's like learning to drive a car.
Exactly.
It's like 3 months later, you don't realize about every individual action. You're just driving the car. Exactly.
And hitting people left and right.
Exactly. That is editorial style.
reverse.
Where'd Ian go? I don't know.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. All right, that's
it. What's the thing on the Farscape page is awesome.
So
peel out.
So really, your expectation of the job versus the reality of it, not in any negative or positive way, but like that's the biggest difference between the two. So
it's because you come straight out of college, you're used to skirting your papers, mm-hmm. you're used to skipping deadlines, you're used to being the least responsible person on the planet with the least amount of expectation.
Right.
And it becomes comfortable being the one without expectation. And you come here and all of a sudden you have responsibilities, and if you screw something up, it's money.
That's right.
The book isn't hitting shelves. It's all your fault. It's terrifying, but in a good way.
In a good way. And again, it's...
And it's what I've been wanting to do.
This is good. This is so. In that sense, it's a dream job for you. This is great. That is not turning into a nightmare yet. This is
yet.
Great. Yeah. I get what time is it
until
now.
Until we stop recording this podcast, and I go back and I see my mailbox, and I realize, wait,
how many emails a day?
You answer them as they come in. Like I
ballpark.
I was out of the country
right.
last week, and I didn't touch my email. And
did
I came back.
Did your parole officer know this?
I only hit Ian once.
Okay.
We have to get Ian in here at one point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ian's
we'll get Ian in next
great.
Week. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's my box was Gmail. It was bold for, like, 3 pages. And
yep.
I'm just like, oh.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Dead faint.
I 200 emails a day, easy. Easy for me. 250 as editor-in-chief of Boom, easy. And it's just, and that's, you. That's
and
a huge part of your job.
You forget how much time it takes to answer them.
Yep.
You're so used to, I was used to, not anymore. Mm-hmm. I learned my lesson of, I'll answer this email, it's fun, it's, of course, nope.
No.
Nope.
That's right. It's a good job, though.
Yeah.
I only keep leading it down the ways in which
I'm working in comics.
Right.
Much to my mother's chagrin.
What, and give up show business? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Working comics and you know, speaking as a fan of comic books, I'm also a fan of Farscape, and it's blowing my mind.
Look at that. Yeah.
That at this point in time, I'm involved in both. It's ridiculous.
You crossed two fandom streams in one place. It's awesome. Good for you. All right, I guess that wraps us up for this week. I don't know that anybody's going to come back after that, but
thanks.
No, it's not you. It's not a reflection on you. I just know we're just kind of all over the map.
Yes,
we are. We'll pick a specific topic next week.
Some people said they liked all over the map.
The free for all and stuff. Okay, next week we can talk about Parade Magazine. We can talk about that's a good story in and of itself. So, join us next week. I'm Mark Wade.
I'm Daphna,
and we are podcasting from Boom Studios with 15 Minutes with Wade.
Have a good week.